It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. By a landslide in some cases, West Virginians who turned out to vote decided this November to send Republicans to both Charleston and Washington to represent them. Now, as Astrid Mara reports, federal and state lawmakers are meeting to find ways they can work together to move their legislative agendas forward.
This is the beginning of, I think, a new great tradition for West Virginia.
Senator-elect Shelley Moore Capito fronted the group of Republican lawmakers who gathered at the state capitol for a private meeting Monday morning. The group included in-waiting House Speaker Tim Armstead and Senate President Bill Cole, as well as four of the state's five congressional leaders. Senator Joe Manchin, the state's only Democratic representative in Congress, was not at the meeting. Congressman David McKinley says the purpose of the conference was to lay the groundwork for how to move forward while keeping the lines of communication open between state and federal leaders. They plan to meet quarterly in West Virginia to discuss policy.
We know the federal issues and the state issues merge with each other. We know how to work together. Let's do it.
As far as specific policy issues, Republicans are sticking to the things that got them elected, fighting the so-called war on coal and job creation. Capito says those are efforts that will take leaders in both Washington and Charleston.
Well, I think what we saw in the 2014 election was dramatic change, both at the federal level and even more dramatic here at the state level. And that's because of the assault on our energy industries. We want to talk about an energy policy that includes everything. I think that's what certainly here at the state level is important, to maximize our natural gas resource.
From the state perspective, Speaker Armstead says he agrees with Capito. One of their priorities will be to protect and expand energy industries. But he says there are plenty of other areas in which congressional and state lawmakers can work together to better West Virginia.
Job creation is largely a factor of our infrastructure, our tax structure, our education system, and our legal and regulatory climate. So I think you're going to see initiatives in all those areas.
Both Armstead and Cole say the GOP policy agendas haven't changed. The notable difference in the oncoming session will be in the way the two chambers work together.
Tim and I have a very close working relationship. You won't see the bickering back and forth between House and Senate that we've seen before. We're matching up our initial legislation and are very, very excited to introduce that very, very early in the session. We're going to go to work.
But the Republican lawmakers' efforts weren't entirely focused on working solely within the party. Capito says she has invited the state's congressional leaders, including Senator Manchin, to join her for dinner later this week to discuss the areas in which they can cooperate as well.
He's expressed his frustration with the gridlock and the partisanship in Washington, and I'm ready to join hands with him to make sure that where we have common ground, and we do have common ground, a lot of common ground, particularly in the energy industries and trying to get West Virginians back to work, that we work together. And maybe, you know, in the best case scenario, we might form a partnership in Washington that will be transcend a lot of the other states that have a split delegation, so we can actually get things done.
Both Congress and the state legislature begin their next sessions in January. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
The coal industry and conservative politicians say new carbon rules for coal-fired power plants will kill coal. And they warn that without it, extreme weather events like last year's polar vortex could leave people in the cold and dark. How well does the polar vortex argument hold up? The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant reports.
It's a cold day. The first this season, Fred White is turning on the heat. He could fire up the gas, but today he's using his wood furnace. He pours in a bag of wood pellets.
This will last 3 or 4 days.
White installed a wood furnace 5 years ago because he says gas prices were getting too high.
If gas price goes way up, sorry, East Ohio Gas, I'm buying pellets. If the price of gas goes down, sorry, pellet dudes, I'm buying gas.
Now we can work the energy market. When temperatures dip, in some places last year they were 30 degrees below average. Homes, businesses, and industry all need more power.
Well, on the worst day last January, the grid was very tight on power supplies.
Ray Dotter is spokesman for PJM Interconnection. It runs the electric grid for 13 states, including Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, and West Virginia. He says there was record demand for power last January.
We had a record amount of generation of power plants that were supposed to be available but were not available to operate.
PJM and other electric grid operators around the country worried about rolling blackouts. So why in the days of most need were power plants unable to run? Jay App directs Carnegie Mellon University's Electricity Industry Center. He says about half the natural gas power outages were caused by plants malfunctioning in the extreme cold.
Coal plants, the same thing. We had coal piles that were frozen shut, conveyor belts to take the coal that wouldn't move, and parts in the plants that didn't work at all.
Some in the energy industry say the electric grid needed every coal plant in the fleet. But by next year, many will be shut down. Doug Colafella is spokesperson for Ohio-based First Energy, which owns power plants and utility companies in several states. Most of their energy comes from coal. Colafella says First Energy has three coal plants along Lake Erie scheduled for closure next year because of environmental regulations.
We have to ensure that we do not set up rules that favor one source of generation over the other and that we lose these critical facilities.
But others in the industry say coal plants are not closing because of mercury regulations. Lee Davis is East Region Vice President for the power producer NRG. He says coal is being shut down because it can't compete financially.
The biggest driver that has driven pressure on coal plants and nuclear plants for that matter is the price of natural gas.
But natural gas usage also contributed to the energy problems during the polar vortex. Energy experts say part of the problem was infrastructure, a lack of pipelines. Many gas plants couldn't get the gas they needed to run, so they sat idle. Ray Dotter at the PJM Electric Grid says they're working on these issues. But in the long run, producing coal, natural gas, and other fuels could help make the grid more stable.
If you look at the mix, then that's more diverse. So there's less reliance on any one type of fuel and more of a diversity among all of them.
It's kind of a large-scale version of what Fred White set up at his house in Ohio. Most days he can choose to heat with gas or wood pellets, depending on what's cheaper. But if one of them is not available, he still has a way to keep warm. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
The Allegheny Front is produced in Pittsburgh and reports on Pennsylvania's environment. More at AlleghenyFront.org. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:38. A winter weather advisory in effect in the eastern counties until 8 o'clock this morning. Today, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain, freezing rain or snow. Temperatures in the 30s and 40s, a chance of rain and snow overnight with lows in the 20s and 30s. And into tomorrow, a chance of rain or snow, highs in the 30s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by the University of Charleston, accepting applications for its executive MBA program, where you can get an MBA in 16 months while working full-time. More at ucwv.edu.
Governor Tomlin visited Piedmont Elementary School in Charleston yesterday to speak with a third-grade class about the importance of STEM-based learning. Liz McCormick reports.
Governor Earl Ray Tomlin issued a proclamation at Piedmont Elementary School announcing this week as the official week of computer science education in West Virginia. Computer Science Education Week is a STEM-related initiative to encourage more technology-based learning in West Virginia classrooms. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. Tomlin visited with Laura Jensen's third grade class.
I'm hoping that they'll see the governor today and recognize that they have a great deal of value, that someone that important came to this school to watch them.
Jensen hopes the visit encourages her students to stay interested in STEM-related topics. Governor Tomlin told the third graders STEM education is important because it will help them go to college and get jobs in the future.
That's part of my whole education reform plan is, you know, to get these kids to thinking about a career, get them let them know how important math and science and technology is, you know, to that's where the jobs are going to be in the future.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Liz McCormick in Charleston.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.